All right, let me move into the Right Side Way opening monologue. This one's going to be a doozy, too, by the way, so stand by. But attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law in North Alabama, and he is indeed your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a little bit. All right, I got to ask you, have you ever done any sewing? Why is this serious, Phil? Well, just go with me. Have you ever done any sewing? The old-fashioned kind, where you have to actually thread a needle. And you got to have steady hands, you got to have keen eyes, you got to have the ability to concentrate in order to get that tiny thread through that little tiny hole. But if you don't thread the needle, the job can't get done, right? Well, try threading a needle in the middle of stormy winds. Okay, there's a lot of social media chatter right now. Go with me, my analogy on threading the needle is about to come tied in, but there's a lot of social media chatter right now about war. There is. Influencers are influencing. Politicians are politicking. You got so-called neocons calling for military intervention and isolationists claiming there's never a just cause for war. Somewhere in the middle are the actual decision makers who bear the burden of actual responsibility for the actual lives of actual citizens. I mean, Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson can easily say that the use of military in the Middle East is a fool's errand. Lindsey Graham, on the other side, can opine vociferously that war is the only and best option to further the U.S. national interest. But in the end, none of them are the ones that history is going to judge. Candace and Tucker and Lindsey will not be remembered 500 years from now, but Donald Trump will. Because he was the one who was elected to make the actual decisions and not just to spout off an opinion and then wait and see what happens. He is the one that history will judge. Donald Trump is the only one who actually has to thread the needle in the midst of the storm. And if he cannot effectively thread the needle, then the job won't get done. Let me step back and tell a story. Everyone's heard of the Nobel Prize, right? But have you ever heard the story about how it came to be? So Alfred Nobel was a genius. Born in Sweden in the middle 1800s, he was fluent in six languages. Over time, he had 355 patents for his inventions to his name. His family was very entrepreneurial and owned the Bofors Company. To this day, Bofors is a manufacturer of military arms, especially cannons. The U.S. AC-130 Spectre gunship uses a 40-millimeter Bofors cannon. But Alfred Nobel was most famous for inventing dynamite, a stable way to take nitroglycerin and package it for use in blasting. And it revolutionized mining, and it created opportunities for railroads to be laid in rugged ground. It made the world a better place in many ways, but it also became useful in military circles. Alfred Nobel's amazing invention made him rich. It made the world better. It was also deadly. Well, toward the end of the 19th century, Nobel was shocked one day to read his own obituary in the newspaper. Yeah, imagine that. Opens up the paper and apparently he's dead. It said, "The merchant of death is dead. Alfred Nobel," it said, "the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in war than ever before, and he died a very rich man." Well, he wasn't dead. It was Alfred's older brother who had died. The newspaper published the story wrong. Apparently fake news was a thing back then, too. But it had a profound effect on Nobel. He decided he wanted to be known for something other than developing the means to kill people efficiently and amassing a fortune in the process. So he initiated what we now know to be the Nobel Prize, the award for scientists and writers who foster peace. Nobel said this. He said, "Every man ought to have the chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one." Basically, he was doing all he could to thread the needle. He could not control the fact that what he intended for good might also cause harm. It was a balancing act. It was an attempt to promote the better aspects of what some found distasteful, even dangerous, but yet he did all that he could to make things right. And that's where we are today. Trump is working to thread a needle. He has made very clear, since back in his first administration, he has made clear for years he will not abide by the idea of a nuclear Iran. And I personally agree with that. A nuclear Iran is a destabilizer on the world stage. It is a danger to our U.S. interests and our allies. Make no mistake. Iran has been killing U.S. troops and fomenting discord and supplying terrorists for decades. The Ayatollahs have made very clear that one of their chief aims is to damage or destroy the U.S. and to wipe out Israel. And when your enemies tell you what they want to do, there's no wisdom in ignoring them. If, in fact, Iran achieved its dream of becoming a nuclear power, what would they do with it? Would they sit back and smile and just feel good about themselves? Would they use it for world peace? Would they be satisfied with just having a nuke? And the answer to all that is no. A nuclear Iran would be an immediate threat to regional stability. Saudi Arabia, who hates Iran, by the way, has already said they would not sit idly by. They would then put all of their resources into developing and/or acquiring nuclear weapons themselves. Bad actors on the world stage will be negotiating with the Ayatollahs to buy nukes on the black market, and the Ayatollahs, who have sold every missile, gun, and drone that the Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas ever fired, would only be too glad to be courted as the chief supplier of nuclear arms to the evil influences who hate America. And then there's the Abraham Accords. Oh, and the oil industry. Oh, and the Chinese Belt and Road Initiatives. Oh, and the Russian influence in Syria. You see, everyone is watching right now to see whether or not Trump is a man of his word, saying that Iran cannot have a nuke, a man of his word who gets his allies back, or is he what the left claims that he is, that TACO, the acronym they came up with that says Trump always chickens out, at which point we could lose everything I just named. But then there's the idea of war. The idea of war in America is a jaded and ill-fated prospect, I'll be honest. I've been to war twice. I've seen good many men damaged and killed. There's a whole generation of Americans right now who grew up in the post-9/11 world who only knew an America where troops were fighting on foreign soil. And there is a general and understandable and reasonable fatigue with the idea of perpetual war. I get that. I actually agree with that. My son's in the Army right now. I don't want to see him use his incredible leadership skills in a war zone. I don't. Americans deserve peace. We want peace. But unfortunately, we have rarely known extended periods of peace. But at the same time, though, having said all that, I just watched recruiting numbers soar. And I watched on Saturday as the President of the United States just recited the oath of enlistment to 100 U.S. soldiers who raised their right hand in order to serve, because they don't believe in the need to have a, they don't believe that we should not have a strong military. And a strong military, by the way, is the best and most capable means of deterrence. But it's also the hammer that sometimes has to strike. It's a needle that has been threaded by every president since George Washington. My own father was highly decorated for his time in war. He wrote to me just before I deployed to Afghanistan, right after 9/11. It's a very personal letter. I actually just came across it again just in the last couple of days. I don't believe I could ever get through reading it out loud to all of you without having to collect myself, but I will read one part. My dad started off in December of 2001 by saying this. He said, "Well, I guess I know now how Granny and Granddaddy must have felt when I went to Vietnam the first time." He said, "But knowing that doesn't make it any easier. And I know how you feel," he said, talking to me. "You're confident, assured that you can do the job you've been trained for. In a sense, you're eager to do that job, concerned that you're leaving your family behind, but knowing they'll be taken care of, and an assurance that God will be with you." My dad was awarded 5 Bronze Stars for valor in combat, and he was still worried about me going to war. He was threading the needle as a dad, as surely as Trump is threading the needle as a president. But I'll also tell you that I believe that Donald Trump is the man for this hour, for such a time as this. I cannot imagine what the world would be like if Biden were still in office. Because the bottom line is, Iran would have been here no matter who had won the election. Iran's nuclear capabilities would have been an issue no matter who had won the election. Biden would have fallen asleep at the wheel while staffers used his auto pen to sign DEI proclamations and to pardon murderers. But Trump, he actually just canceled part of his G7 summit to return to the Situation Room and stay on top of some of the most dangerous and stormy times that the world has seen in the modern era. And I don't believe that we're going to war. I don't. I don't believe we're going to see U.S. troops on foreign soil unless Iran strikes America or American bases. But I do believe this. While I don't believe we're going to have boots on the ground, I do believe that we may see U.S. bombs on foreign soil. I do believe that we will likely see U.S. sanctions on foreign soil. I do believe that Trump has access to information and intelligence that nobody else in the world of social media influencers has. And I believe that it keeps him up all night as he works to try to thread that needle in the middle of stormy winds. Andrew Jackson, of whom Donald Trump is actually very fond, said once, "I was born for the storm. A calm does not suit me." Well, I've got to be honest with you. I think Trump was born for the storms. In fact, I think he was born to thread needles in storms. And these are dangerous times. They are. And I suggest that news media and social media influencers and pundits and politicos, they all have their role in the social discourse. But my prayer is for the man who actually threads the needle. That's the most important thing we could be about right now, is praying for the man, Donald Trump, who has to thread the needle in the middle of stormy winds. Because that's what he's doing. Donald Trump is threading the war needle in the winds of a storm right now. But I am glad that he's the one there to do it. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.